If this is your first time with us here at Hoboken Grace, we're super excited to have you with us. Right now, we're kicking off this brand new conversation. It's called A New Resolution. And throughout this month, we're going to be looking at potential. And we're going to be looking at how, as we go into this next year, how we can begin to experience our full potential. As we walk through 2013, how we can begin to know and begin to experience, okay, God, what did you create me for? And how can I begin to experience that to its fullest? And I think when you come to the new year and you come to the new year resolutions that we make, it's all about potential, right? We look back at the past year and, okay, how do I want to build on that? How do I want to improve on that? Where do I think that I can move forward? And I think that this is actually a really good thing. I think it's a biblical thing. I think that the Bible and God is constantly challenging us to grow, to move forward, to expand. And so as we come to this point in the year, it's something that for most of us that we do. We sit down and look at, okay, how could this year be better than last year? And I'm a big resolution guy. How many of you here sit down and do New Year's resolutions? Right? Yeah, not very many people have raised their hands all day, which I think is because you just don't want the person next to you to hold you accountable, right? So you're afraid, like, if I hold my hand, they're going to ask you what, if you raise your hand, they're going to ask you what those resolutions are. But I'm a big resolution person, but a lot of us kind of give up on it as the years go by because, as Chris said earlier, they kind of come and they go. And I like to be able to sit down and review those resolutions about once every quarter. That way, if they only last a month, at least they'll last like 4 months every time that I look at them. So at least I'll be practicing them about 4 months out of the year. But it's something that I like to do, and I think a lot of us like to do. It's kind of part of our culture, even though they come and they go. And what I want to do today as we begin this conversation is I want to look at what I think is probably one of the reasons why they do come and go. One of the reasons why we make them and then they end up coming to nothing. Because I think part of the problem is the fact that so many of our resolutions, they speak to what we're going to do as opposed to who we're going to become. And I think this is a problem that shows up in our lives all the time, where we look at our lives and we look at where we're going or how we're moving forward, and oftentimes our focus is on what we're going to do as opposed to who we're going to become. Now, when you begin to have this conversation with God, you begin to notice this because God, especially when you get to the New Testament, he's a lot more focused on who you're going to become than he is what you're going to do. And so you hear him talk about the heart all the time and how in your life and in my life, he's not trying to change us from the outside in. He's actually trying to change us from the inside out. And I think one of the big problems that we have when it comes to this idea of growth, when it comes to these resolutions that we make year after year after year, is that we focus on what we're going to do instead of who we're going to become. And what I want to do today as we begin to look at, okay, what is our potential for this next year? In your life and my life, I believe that God didn't just die so that you could be saved. I believe that he died so that you could experience life right now to the fullest. And so if we're going to experience that potential, if we're going to understand and know and live in our full potential, then I think we have to move past just what we're going to do and we have to look at, okay, who are we going to become? And I think all of us have an idea of who we're trying to become. We may not know it. We may not be able to sit down and write it out on a sheet of paper, but we have an idea of who we're trying to become, this image, if you will. And it's a little bit different than, oh, you know, I got to take care of my image. It's different than the way that people see you. There's this image that I think every single one of us has inside of who we are, in our imagination, of who we're trying to become. I remember as I was growing up, I remember looking at my cousin, and I looked at how my cousin talked, and I looked at how my cousin interacted with the people around him, and I looked at how people interacted with him, and how they respected him, and how he seemed to be able to say the right thing at the right time, and be able to stay quiet when he needed to be quiet, And I looked at that, and that began to shape this image that I was trying to pursue. that I was trying to become. And I looked at how he lived and how he was worked, and I was like, man, I want to be like that. And I think all of us have this image that we're pursuing. And you may know it or you may not. It may just be subconscious. But I bet if we were to sit down and to talk through the decisions that you make and what you're trying to do in your life, that you have an image that you're pursuing. And this image is unbelievably powerful. Because this is the person that you think, if I could become that person, then I'd be happy. If I could become that, if I could live up to that, then I would have what I need. I would be secure. I would be safe. I would be joyful. And so we're pursuing this. And it can be influenced by all these different things in our lives. And so you encounter this person over here. You have this friend as you're growing up. And you watch the way that people are attracted to that person. And you're like, man, I want to be like that. And sometimes it's a very conscious thing. And sometimes it's not. Because for some of you, you could tell me exactly what that image is right from the beginning. Because especially if you had a difficult time growing up, if you were bullied at all, you found yourself in those situations where you did not like the way in which people responded to you. For many of you, you created that image on purpose. And you're like, you know what? I'm not going to be treated this way anymore. And so in order to not be treated this way anymore, I'm going to become like this. And so you learn to do certain things in your life and you built yourself in a certain way in order to be able to achieve a certain image so that you could escape what you were experiencing before. And so for some of you, you know this all too well, and it's a very conscious thing in your life. Or maybe you grew up in a family where your father was just unbelievably demanding, and so you decided that you were going to create this image, and you're pursuing this image because you think if you could be that person, you could prove your dad wrong about what he said about you. Or you've bought into this idea that if you could be that person, if you could live up to that image, then your father would finally approve. There are all sorts of things that feed into this image and all sorts of things that shape it, but every single one of us has one. This person that we're trying to become. And if we could just become that person, then we would have what we're looking for. And this person, it exists not on a sheet of paper, but in our imagination. And it's unbelievably powerful because it can show up in places that we never would have expected. There's a passage in the book of Proverbs that's just incredible. It says this, it says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." Let me read it to you again. "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." And the writer of Proverbs is trying to call us to this idea that, listen, inside of yourself, you have an idea of who you are and who you're trying to become. And you're imagining what that's going to be and what that's going to look like. And he wants us to understand that that's unbelievably powerful because it will influence who you are. And for many of us, we don't necessarily think this is true. We may have it, but we don't think it influences us as much as the writer of Proverbs does. I have this conversation with guys a lot because there's a common phrase inside of our culture that guys like to repeat that goes directly against this verse. It goes something like this: "I can look as long as I don't touch." Yeah, I'm sure many of you have heard this, and I'll hear guys say this all the time. And over and over and over again, I'm having conversations with them where I have to tell them, listen, you need to understand what happens in your imagination is unbelievably important. Because what happens in your imagination has a very high chance of becoming reality. And do not be surprised if one day what you imagine actually comes rushing into reality. And for many of us, we're living lives that we never thought we'd live, and we're making decisions that we never thought we would ever make. And we come to this new year and we're like, okay, I'm gonna change those decisions. And we're focused on what we're gonna do. But God wants us to go a little bit deeper. Because the problem isn't what you're doing. The problem is who you're becoming. And the fact that you're not paying attention to this image that you're pursuing. And because of that, you're undermining everything that you're trying to do. See, God wants us to understand that our actions are the result of what's happening inside. Listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 through 19. It says, But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. From the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's like, no. You guys are worried about all this surface stuff. He says, you need to look deeper. You need to understand that it comes from the heart. And here's the thing, especially if this is your first time that you've ever walked into Hoboken Grace, if this is the first time that you've ever walked into a church, or maybe you haven't been away from church for a long time, or maybe you've heard something else about who God is, here's the unbelievable message of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ goes to the cross so that you could have a new heart, so that you could be born again. You see, God's not interested in changing you from the outside in. He's interested in changing you from the inside out. And the message of Jesus Christ is this, that if you place your faith in him and what he did on that cross, then you can be given a new heart, a heart that seeks after what is good, a heart that wants to do what is right, a heart that wants to love instead of be selfish. That's the unbelievable truth about Jesus Christ. And I want you to know today, no matter where you are on this journey, I don't care what you've done in the past, Jesus Christ died so that you could have a new start. Not from the outside in, not so that you could begin to make new decisions today so that that would save you. No. So that you could be made new from the inside out. And so he steps into your life and my life and says, listen, I'm going to make your heart new. But then I believe he continues and he begins to work on us and begins to have this conversation with us, not just about our heart, but the image that we're pursuing. And understanding that this is absolutely, positively crucial, because as a man thinks, so he is. Who are you becoming? And I think in your life and my life, he wants to begin to shape that image. Because here's the thing about this. You are not a victim. And oftentimes, because of the fact that we don't pay attention to it, because of the fact that our attention isn't drawn to it, we become victims of this image. And so we're trying so hard to change our actions. But over here, this image is pulling us in a different direction. And so for some of you, you're walking into this next year and you say, okay, I want to be more giving. I want to be more selfless. I want to give more of my time and my energy. I want to give more of my finances and I want to be able to help people around me. But there's this image that you're pursuing, and the image that you're pursuing that you think is going to make you happy is this individual who has it all together. And so maybe you've encountered a boss at some point in your life, or someone in your family was just unbelievably successful and they had everything. It just seemed like they were always prepared. They had everything together and everything that they needed. And so you're pursuing that image. What you need to realize is that what you're trying to do and the image that you're pursuing are working against one another. And you will not be more generous because you have to have it all together. And one of the things that I struggled with early on in this journey is that I wanted to follow Christ and do what Christ was asking me to do. But the image that I was pursuing was working directly against it. Because I wanted to be the person who had it all together. And if you're going to do what God asks you to do, you can't really be that person, because you have to admit when you make mistakes. And there were all these different places where they started to clash, this image that I was pursuing and what I wanted to do. And God began to have this conversation with me on a deeper level to say, Chris, what you're pursuing is the wrong thing. You have the wrong image. And so as we begin this conversation, and we're gonna be working through this throughout the next few weeks, as we begin this conversation, I want to introduce you to a couple questions that I think are absolutely crucial. Crucial if you're going to begin to see the image that you're pursuing, because some of you are like, I don't know what it is. And you need to take some time in your life to be able to evaluate this and to ask yourself some of these questions to figure out, okay, what is going on beneath the surface in me? And then also for you to be able to use these questions to begin to change that image, because you can control it. And not only can you control it, I believe God calls us to control it, because he wants you to be able to experience your full potential. I think if you're going to begin to interact with, okay, what is this image? Then the first question you have to ask yourself is this: who determines truth? In your life, who determines truth? In other words, who determines what actually makes you happy? Who is it that you're listening to as far as what's going to actually bring you security? And this is the foundation, because if you don't get to the heart of this question, the other questions aren't going to make sense, and they're not going to work. For some of you, your dad determines truth. And so because of what he said to you, because of what you experienced in that relationship with him, you are living your life either believing that if you live up to that image that he set for you, that you'll be happy. Some of you believe, man, dad was right. If I just do this, if I live up to this image, if I accomplish this level of success, then I'll be happy. The weird thing is, your dad wasn't happy, but you believe that if you live up to it, that you will be. Your dad determines truth in your life. For others of you, it's your peers. It's an awful way to live, but for so many of us, it's true. And you're allowing them to determine, okay, what will make me actually happy? How am I actually going to be provided for? And you walk into working environments where people are telling you over and over and over and over again that you have to have the newest purse and you have to have the whatever it may be, right? All of the new stuff in order to be happy. And it's influencing that image. It's determining what you believe about truth. And you're allowing the people around you to be the ones who determine truth. Even worse, there are so many of us that live in situations where we allow pop culture to determine truth. And so we watch shows, and these shows begin to influence what we believe about what will actually make us happy. And they begin to influence this image that we want to become. I mean, how many of you growing up, how many of you wanted to be Rachel from Friends? Right? Yeah, okay, a few people who are going to be honest in this conversation, because there are a lot more of you here who wanted to be Rachel. And it's amazing how that show influenced thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people as far as what would actually make you happy. I mean, if you didn't want to be Rachel, you at least wanted Rachel's haircut, right? I mean, how many of you had Rachel's haircut? That's almost everybody in the room at some point had Rachel's haircut. And this and these shows and pop culture begins to influence truth. You'll be happy if you have this. You'll be happy if you shop at Pottery Barn. I mean, Friends made Pottery Barn. Right? And we laugh about it, but it's kind of disturbing. Who determines your truth? And you go back to our conversation from this past Christmas, and you look at God and this message of his that, listen, it's better to give than it is to receive. Do you believe God about what will actually make you happy? Or someone else? Who's determining your truth? Building on that, then, you have to begin to ask yourself, what are or who are the examples in your life? Who are the examples? And we all have them. It may not be one in particular. Usually, when you begin to dive into this and work through this with people, you find a plethora of examples, and you like the way this person operates in the business world, and you like the way that this person operates in the social world, and you like the way that this person dresses, or the way that this person handles himself, or the way that this person tells jokes. And so you begin to kind of pick things up from different places, and all these different examples begin to influence this image in your imagination that you are trying to pursue. Who are your examples? And it takes a little bit of work, but I'm telling you, it's worth it to begin to work through and say, okay, who am I actually learning from? Who is actually influencing this in my life? And I think one of the ways that we know that God is trying to have this conversation with us is actually found in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 29, when it says this. It says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son." Other translations actually translate it to be conformed to the image of his son. See, God knows that we all have an image that we're pursuing. And one of the reasons why Jesus Christ doesn't just come and die is that he wants to be able to establish for us an example. And so he walks through the difficulties that you and I walk through. He encounters the temptation that you and I encounter. And in the midst of that, he operates on an entirely different idea of what is actually true. And he begins to live for us an example to be able to impact that image. So God says, listen, I want you to know in your life, the image that I'm trying to pursue in you is Jesus Christ. And in your life and in my life, I believe there's unbelievable power when you begin to align your example with the example that God is trying to pursue in you. And for some of you, you look at this passage and you hear God say that he causes all things to work together for the good. And you're like, I don't understand that, because you're working toward a different image than what he's working toward. And so it looks like everything is out of whack. And how could God be for me? And you hear me talk about that earlier and you're like, that doesn't make any sense because it looks like God's against me. No, it's just that God is working towards something different in you. And if you're going to experience your full potential, then you've got to begin to look at the image that you're pursuing and bring it in line with the image that God is pursuing in you. And to allow him to become that example. And not only that, but he surrounded us with this incredible family so that we could begin to move into one another's lives. This is one of the reasons why we talk about dinner groups all the time here at Hoboken Grace, is because you need other people in your life who are pursuing that same image so that they can be examples as far as, oh, that's what it looks like to love. That's what it looks like to be able to care for the people around me. That's how I should operate as a husband with my wife. That's how I should operate as a girlfriend with my boyfriend. And all these different people begin to inform that image that you're pursuing to help us be able to see it more clearly. Who are your examples? Who are you allowing to begin to influence that image in your life? But not only who are your examples, but then also, what are you allowing to inform your imagination? What are you allowing to inform your imagination? And this is one of the areas in our church where I'm very nervous. And one of the things that, as I have conversations with people who are a part of our family, I'm scared. Because one of the things that I've noticed is that we're very, very very loose with what we allow to inform our imagination. And we live in this culture that is so dominated by entertainment. And in the midst of that entertainment, over and over and over again, I see us making decisions to allow ourselves to be entertained by evil. And I see us over and over, and I have conversations with people, and I'm like, I don't think that's going to be good for you. And I'm telling you, if you allow yourself to be entertained by sin, if you allow yourself to be entertained by evil, it will shape the image that you're pursuing. And you may think you can escape it, but you can't. And you may think that you can watch destruction and be able to move on just as you did before, but it's going to destroy you. And it is going to rob you of your potential. And the culture in which we live, and the entertainment culture in particular, has bought into the idea that destruction sells. And you look at the reality TV shows that fill the channels on our TV, and it's no longer even just evil, it's actually destruction. And you're watching people destroy their lives. And there's something about us, there's something about our flesh that is just sucked into that. And I want you to know something as we begin 2013. If you continue to allow yourself to be entertained by evil, it will destroy you. It will destroy us as a church. And it will completely rob you of your potential. You're allowing evil to inform your imagination. And if you continue to expose yourself, guys, to shows where men have absolutely no respect for women, it will destroy your ability to be a man of God. And women, if you continue to watch shows where women have no respect for themselves, it will destroy you and your ability to be who God created you to be. And it lies to you over and over and over again about who you are and the value that God has for you. But we've been lied to and told that we can just imagine. We've been lied to and told that we can be exposed to all these different things and that it won't influence us, it won't impact us, we're going to be able to just move on. No, you can't. For as a man thinks within himself, so he is. What are you allowing to inform your imagination? What are you exposing yourself to as you walk through your week and as you walk through your year? This is one of the reasons why here at Hoboken Grace at the beginning of the year, we challenge people over and over and over again to get signed up for our Bible reading blog, where every single day you can receive an email and you can read through the Bible in 1 year with us. Because for so many of us, our imagination, our thought process, this image, it's being fed constantly by all of these destructive influences, and the time that we're taking to allow God's truth to inform that imagination is unbelievably small. And God wants you to be part of this family and to be part of this journey with people who are pursuing him the way that you want to pursue him, so that over and over again, more and more influences are coming into your life that are shaping that image to what it should be, to what it could be, to your full potential. In your life, who determines the truth? In your life, who are the examples? In your life, what are you allowing to influence your imagination? In 2013, I believe God wants you to experience your full potential. And you may not be living it. We're not going to get to 2013 and be living it fully. We're not. We know that. But we can get to the end of 2013 and have taken steps forward. We can get to the end of 2013 and know where we're going and know where we're headed and know how to be able to get there. And know that we're not where we used to be. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be laying out, I believe, an image that God has for you and I, shaping this image that we're pursuing that is going to floor us, that will transform the way in which we look at everything that we do, completely life-changing. But as we get started, we've got to do a little bit of work. What's the image that I'm pursuing now? How do I begin to adjust where I'm getting truth? How do I begin to adjust that example? How do I begin to adjust and change some of the things that I'm allowing to influence my imagination? Because what you don't want to happen is to get to the end of this thing and just be saved. You want to be able to experience the full potential of what Jesus Christ died to give you. Will you pray with me? Father, as we walk through this and we look at everything that surrounds this unbelievable truth and this incredible example that you've given us of the image that we're to be pursuing, that we're to be working to become, Father, I pray over the next few weeks that we'll begin to see with clarity the beauty of that, the fullness of that. And we'll be able to see the fullness of what it looks like to live a life like Jesus without fear, without worry, without any insecurity. A life filled with wisdom. A life filled with hope. Father, I pray that as we begin this journey into this next year, I pray for every single person here that they would just be overwhelmed with excitement. Not only that you are going before us, but that you are working in and through us to be able to bring us along with you so that we could experience the fullness of why you gave your life. And Father, may we, as we continue this journey, may we be an example and a light to the world around us of just how great you are. And the great plan that you have for every single one of us, those who are here and those who are not. In Jesus' name, amen.